Our text for this morning's meditation comes to us actually from the introit, Psalm 66, these words, verse 19. But truly God has listened, he has attended to the voice of my prayer. So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, a while ago, I received a very nice gift from one of my daughters, from Naomi, a children's book, one of my favorite books from childhood. Thidwick, the Big-Hearted Moose. You may remember that book. Dr. Seuss classic that appeared first way back in 1948, still published today. And Naomi bought it for me because I had mentioned it a couple of times, but I didn't have a copy. Remember the plot? Remember the plot of that book? Short summation. A moose, Thidwick, he allows a bug to ride and live in his antlers free of charge. Other animals in the forest, seeing such hospitality on Thidwick's part, also asked to live there. And before you know it, Thidwick's antlers are full of all of the animals of the forest, all sorts of different animals that weigh him down and cause him to abandon the other moose in the herd. And they lead Thidwick to the brink of starvation. What's more, hunters get on his trail, but facing death in such a gruesome fashion, Thidwick remembers that he could shed his antlers. And so that's what he does. Thidwick sheds his antlers, leaving all of the animals of the forest in a heap. And running away, Thidwick rejoins his herd of moose. That's my favorite part, shedding of the antlers. Now, this story has been interpreted in many ways, but one way it has not been interpreted is that the story is a description, ultimately, of our troubles, our thoughts, our worries that fill up our heads. They fill up our heads. But for a long time now, it's occurred to me that it could be, and for us, it should be. No. We don't allow every animal in the forest to come and reside in our antlers. We don't have antlers. But we do seem to allow so many problems to take up residency in our heads. Our own problems. Our friends' problems, our spouse's problems, our children's problems, our parents' problems, our siblings' problems, our neighborhood's problems, our city's problems, our state's problems, our nation's problems. And even the world's problems. All these problems we seem to allow to come and take up residency in our heads. This is what we do. Some of us have fewer problems, some more, but we all seem to do it, to allow so many, many problems to get stuck up there. And the reality is, more the problems we in our problem hospitality, we could call it, allow to reside in our heads because, well, they found a place for themselves there. Yes, the reality is, the more we allow the problems of life to reside in our heads, the more we are weighed down. The more we have trouble even thinking, the more we ignore our health, our well-being, and the less we're able to do and to serve and to love. I mean, sometimes we're thinking about so many, many problems, we're brought to a standstill. We can do nothing. Using another comparison, every time we take on another problem, allowing it to reside in our heads, it's just like clicking on another icon in our computers. And the more icons we click, the slower our computers work. Until with so many icons clicked, so many pages opened, the computer can't do anything. I think we all know what I'm talking about here. So what can we do? What can we do? Not like we have antlers, like I said, in which our problems reside that we can shed, but we can actually shed our problems. We can shed our problems, emptying our heads, our minds, our hearts of them simply by praying. Yes. Yes, by praying. You might be thinking at this point, that's it? That's all you got, Pastor? After Thidwick and the antlers and computers and icons, prayer? Really, Pastor? That's it? I can pray anytime I want. Okay. So why don't you? Why don't we? Why don't we pray? After all, praying isn't a right. Praying is a privilege. A privilege earned for us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is access to our Father in heaven to hear us out on a daily basis, to lay all of our problems before Him, every last one of them, and believe firmly and fully and completely that He will handle them for us. So why don't we pray? Well, we don't pray because the devil would convince us not to. The world would say our prayers are worthless. And our flesh, well, it has better things to do. Prayer, what can that do? Well, let's repent. Repent of despising the access won for us by our Father, to our Father in heaven, by our Savior Jesus Christ, through His suffering and death for our biggest problem, the problem bigger than all the problems residing in our head combined, and that is our sin. It is, after all, the sin that adheres to us, the sin with which we are born, causing us to be enemies of God, spiritually blind and dead. Yes, it is sin which causes us to think of prayer not as this incredible privilege, the first thing we do when confronted with a problem, but instead we think of prayer as a last resort, as all that we can do now is pray, as if our own efforts before prayer in confronting our problems were of so much more power and efficacy than prayer. Through faith in Christ, however, we do have peace with God. Our sins are forgiven. And so daily we have access to heaven through prayer, granted, so that our problems become our Heavenly Father's problems. Daily, then, we should shed our head full of problems by pouring them out before our Father in heaven, listing every last one of them, every one. In that day, Jesus said, you'll ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I'll ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you. Here's some more Luther. Such wonderful thoughts. It's hard to avoid them. Thoughts appropriate for, especially now, you really need to listen to these. You must learn to pray, so Luther. You must learn to pray. Not sit alone or lie around, hanging your head and shaking it, brooding over your thoughts, worrying about how you can escape, and looking at nothing but yourself and your sad and painful condition, get up, you lazy bum, and fall on your knees. Lift your eyes and hands toward heaven. Take a psalm or the Lord's Prayer and pour out your trouble with tears before God, lamenting and calling upon him, as in Psalm 142, I poured out my complaint before him and I showed before him my trouble. Psalm 141, let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands. Prayer and the mentioning of troubles are sacrifices most pleasing to God. He desires it, and it's his will that you should pour out your trouble before him. Listen. Listen. You should pour out your trouble before him and not let it lie upon yourself, dragging it about with you and being chafed and tortured by it, so that in the end you make 2 or even 10 or 100 calamities out of what? God wills that you be too weak to bear and overcome such trouble, in order that you may learn to find strength in him, and that he may be praised through his strength in you. Behold, this is how Christians are made. Told you it was good stuff. So there you have it. Pour out all of our troubles before our Father in heaven, and we are to do so not like our Father in heaven has demanded some sort of homework assignment from us that we need to complete every day, but in order that we learn to find strength in our Father in heaven to help us in our weakness, solving the problems that confront us, teaching us to rely on him to take care of the things of which we cannot do anything. And when we do that, we can get up. We can live. We can serve. We can laugh. And we can do that because our heads are no longer clogged with all of our brooding and worrying and fearing. Here we cannot be, we must not be, we shall not be like Thidweek, the big-hearted moose, thinking that somehow we are less, somehow we are not right, somehow we are doing something wrong, if we don't welcome and show hospitality to every trouble with which we are confronted. I mean, I think every one of us has trouble that we have welcomed and shown hospitality to, allowing it to reside in a cozy room in our hearts, in our heads, for years, maybe even decades, believing that if we evict it, that is, if we toss it out, laying it before our Father in heaven in prayer to take care of, that somehow we're not doing the right thing. That's exactly what we should do. In faith, letting God be God. Doing that which he only can do for us. Just as he did with his son, Jesus Christ, having him suffer and die on the cross for our sin, because we couldn't do that. We couldn't suffer and die on the cross for our sins. Only Jesus could. If God, our Heavenly Father, can justify us through his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, can he not clarify us? Clarify our minds, our hearts, by allowing us to lay before him every day all of our troubles in prayer. Our text from Psalm 66, our text, part of our intro this morning, is clear. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. That is, God listens to our prayers and God acts. An old hymn says it best, right? An old hymn that perhaps we've sung so often that we don't even listen to it or read it, comprehending it as we sing it. You know this hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We always concentrate on that. Oh, Jesus is our friend. But listen, listen to what it says right after that. All our sins and griefs to bear. Then, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Listen still. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Meaning we give it up. We give up that peace. We just give it away. What needless pain we bear, right? We don't have to bear it. Why? All because we don't carry everything to God in prayer. Don't know how much clearer, much simpler it can be expressed. When we do not carry all of our troubles and problems and worries and fears to God, our loving Heavenly Father, in prayer, we suffer. We suffer pain, but it's needless pain. For there is an antidote for it, and that is prayer. So let us pray. Pray every single day. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.